Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
We continue our study in 1 John chapter 3, verses 13 through 15, and a section that is entitled, How to Recognize a Counterfeit. That is a counterfeit Christian. A section that tells us that believers are known by their actions, not by their profession. How vitally important that is to understand. In verse 13, we learn that hatred marks the world. In verse 14, that love marks Christians. And in the last part of verse 14 and 15, that hatred exposes counterfeits. Here's what it says. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. So we'll continue studying the section on this Thursday, July 5, enabled to do so by radio listeners who help us with your financial gifts. Thank you so very much. Well, starting with verse 13, do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. Do not marvel, because this does tend to take us by surprise when we're not expecting it, not accustomed to it, or have not oriented ourselves to it, and because that hatred often is not expressed openly. Sometimes it is, depending on the individual and depending upon the circumstance and situation, but oftentimes hatred is not expressed openly. It's harbored secretly and is acted upon in various devious ways, but sometimes ways that are not so openly apparent. And so it can be quite a surprise. Do not marvel, brethren. Do not marvel if the world hates you, as it will. And that's what this means. If the world hates you is what is called in the world of grammar, a first-class conditional verb. It indicates a recognized reality. It's not if the world hates you, it may or may not. It's saying if the world hates you as it does, do not be astonished or amazed or surprised if the world hates you as it does, because that's exactly what Jesus told us to expect. Did we forget the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in John chapter 15, when he said in verse 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world, the world would love its own, yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. Question: did the world persecute Jesus? Answer: yes. Then Jesus says they'll persecute my followers as well. Question: did the world pay receptive attention to Christ's words? Answer: no. At least most of the world did not. Therefore, said Jesus, don't be surprised when the world treats with hostility and skepticism and rejection and anger and hatred, your words that represent me as you endeavor to speak them to the world. Don't let that be of surprise to you. Or another way of putting it would be, to the same extent that the world accepted my words, they'll accept yours. In other words, by the work of the Spirit of God, some in the world were changed by a spiritual birth and went from hostility toward Christ to loving Him, went from rejecting His words to believing them and valuing them. And the same thing will be true with you. There will be some who will obey your words, who will receive them favorably because the Spirit does a work in their hearts. So to the extent that happened with Christ, it will happen with His followers. But the majority in Christ's day did not receive His words. Why should we expect that the majority will in our day? I don't know why this is so hard. There seems to be, even among Christians, some kind of resistance to the idea that the world hates us, that the world dislikes us, that the world of necessity will hate us and will dislike us if we are standing true for Christ. It's the hatred that was displayed toward Christ, and it's the hatred that we receive because of our identification with Christ. It's hatred that reveals something about the people who hate. It reveals the condition of their heart. They hate us because they hated Christ. Now, sometimes we find that difficult to accept because we know that we are not as Christ-like as we ought to be. And so sometimes when we find animosity toward us from others, we say, oh, what's wrong with me? Where did I go wrong? What have I done that is not Christ-like? And that's always possible, that we're doing something that is provoking animosity, not because of our righteousness, but because of our unrighteousness, because we know we have plenty of that. That's why Peter put it this way in 1 Peter 4:15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. Did you catch that? That's pretty important. I'm going to go back over it again. But let none of you suffer as a murderer. Surely a Christian is not going to suffer as a murderer. A thief, likewise. An evildoer. Well, that depends on how you define evildoing. Or as a busybody in other people's matters. Now, there's one that we could very easily transgress concerning. Sometimes our efforts to be a witness to the world can cross the line from a humble, faithful witness to being a nosy busybody. And sometimes we don't even understand the difference. But Peter says we need to understand that. Don't let any of you suffer as a murderer, evildoer, or a busybody in other people's matters. If you suffer for that reason, then you asked for it, you deserve it, and there's nothing to be proud about in that regard. Yet, verse 16, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. Yes, there is something within us that resists the idea that in the very nature of Christianity and the nature of unregenerate people, there is going to be this unyielding hostility that only yields to the work of the Spirit of God. But otherwise, unyielding hostility, it's there. It must be there. It cannot be removed. It cannot be mitigated unless we're willing to betray Christ. It's there because of Christ. The one who hates has an unregenerate heart. The one who hates us resents the light that we represent. It is similar, but not exactly the same, but it is similar to the animosity that slackers on the job have toward those who are diligent workers. Why do they have animosity toward diligent workers? The diligent worker isn't doing anything against the lazy slacker. He's not tattling on him. He's not remonstrating with him. He's leaving him alone. He's just going about his own job, minding his own business. But the slacker has animosity toward the diligent worker. Why? Because the diligent worker makes him look bad. That's why. And so, therefore, why does the world hate Christians? Well, we've already said so, because we represent Christ to them, but because Christians, by their love of Christ and love of truth and love of righteousness and endeavoring to live right by the law of God, make other people look bad who are not living that way and frankly don't want to. They don't intend to, they're not trying to, and they just want to be left alone in their sin and darkness. And if there were no Christians around to show them up by the contrast of a Christian life, if there were no Christians around to shine the light of the truth of the gospel into their darkened world, then they could pretty much do what they want to do without feeling guilty about it and without feeling molested in any way. But because Christians exist, just because we are here, we make them look bad and we make them feel bad. And that's why, in this matter of hatred toward Christians, there are degrees. And the more Christ-like you are, the more despised you will be. And we think it ought to be the other way around. If I could just be more Christ-like, then this animosity would disappear. No, just the opposite. The more Christ-like we are, the more the animosity is going to be increased. Hatred surprises us in absence of visible provocation. We're not provoking them. But the provocation is there. It's invisible. It's spiritual. It's the provocation of light shining into darkness. And we need to understand this. And that's exactly what this text is telling us. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you, as it does, as it will, as it inevitably will, and there's no way to change it except by toning down your Christian testimony and betraying Christ. But the more Christ-like you are, the more truthful you are, the more honest you are, the more diligent you are, the more hated you will be. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.